Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Team Broadcasting.
Hottest show on internet radio, The Lonely Hearts Cafe. I am your co-host, Christopher Tracy, and I am joined tonight, as I am each and every Tuesday night, by the Honorable Deacon Aloysius Forever Love. Aloysius?
Word.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I am blessed and wonderful.
Okay. Tonight's show is going to be short but sweet. A lot of topics, a lot of things I want to discuss. But, you know, I prepare a lot, you know, like five topics. We're going to cover four, you know, we may move quickly to the fifth, that kind of thing. But tonight, we're going to follow up on last week's show. And then, you know, we'll just vibe. And
I dig it.
I hope you dig it, because you have no idea what I'm going to talk about. Well, you do, because you know, you saw the show notes. But we're going to piggyback off the story that you told last week. Mm-hmm. And I see the phone lines are lighting up. I expect some callers to call in. And first, let's get into the general stuff that we talk about. And everybody that's on the line, thank you for joining us. Let me just run down the basics. You are tuned into the Lonely Hearts Cafe. This is a show that is in its second year. I'm joined weekly. My name is Christopher Tracy, and I'm joined weekly by my co-host, the Honorable Deacon Aloysius Forever Love. Aloysius is in Michigan. I'm in Florida. And this is where you know, we have some fellas call in every now and then, but typically it's the ladies calling in, emailing, leaving messages on the hotline, posting on the Facebook page topics to be discussed, dealing with relationship issues. And what we try to do is give the ladies a male perspective on things. We don't ask people to agree with us. We don't ask people to understand us. All we do is give you our perspective, our spin on things. And I know that if someone were to ask me about my opinion, I don't care. For many years of my life, I've been described as arrogant, an asshole, and props. And Aloysius has no idea where this is going. So bear with me a little bit, dear brother. Aloysius.
And I will.
As I was telling a boss lady, who I affectionately called my wife last week, because she listened to last week's episode after we finished. Typically, she doesn't listen to the shows, but she did listen to last week's show, and she enjoyed it. So as I was talking to boss lady, I said to her, one thing about Aloysius. Aloysius and I graduated from high school together. Our mothers graduated from high school together. We went to college together, graduated from college together. We've been best friends just about all of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Aloysius is a scholar. Okay? That's what I told my wife. One thing about Aloysius is he's a scholar. Now, if someone were to say to Aloysius, I disagree with you, or, you know, he as an adult can accept that, you know, you can say anything you want to him, but he really, I told my wife this, he would say, I don't give a fuck. If you don't agree with him, if you take issue with what he says, he will say, I don't give a fuck. So, having said that, I will say this. We received communication that someone took issue with your story last week about the lady who invited you over, whose man got out, and he ended up jumping on her, punching her. Someone took issue to you referring to her as a bitch. Bitch, 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 bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the main thing. And the person went to the point of saying that a man who calls a woman a bitch is a sorry motherfucker. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're hearing all of this for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The lines are lighting up. I'm getting a lot of comments, so I'm pausing to check out these comments. It's already getting a lot of comments. So, did it bother me? No. I remember you telling that story when it happened years ago, many, many years ago. I remember hearing the story. But, you know, I am one who does not use the word bitch regularly. It's not a part of my regular jargon. In fact, if I, Aloysius, you want to say anything? You want to do introductions or anything like that? Tell me how the weather is, anything like that?
No, keep on going. I want to get to the meat.
Okay. So I am one who does not use the word bitch. I probably use the word bitch 4 to 6 times a year. Okay. And when I do use it, I'm usually in the company of women. And I say to them, I am going to use this word. Do you mind if I use this word? And then I use it in the sentence or context that I'm using. That's how I use it. Now, we listen to music, lyrics that use it throughout the songs. We associate with people who use it. We watch TV shows, Dave Chappelle's show, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They use it there. And I even listen to a morning radio show, nationally syndicated, very popular, on regular FM airwaves, where they use it throughout the show. Doesn't mean I use it. So, the one thing that stuck in my mind was Aloysius is a scholar. Okay? Aloysius is a scholar. So, I did some research on that word. And give me 1 second as I go to my dictionary. Okay. So, in Webster's dictionary, first I went to a couple of dictionaries, and then I decided they all said the same thing. But then, for the purpose of this show, I decided to use Webster's, because Webster's is, I'd say, one of the two or three universally accepted dictionaries. So, I even asked my wife, I said, what's a bitch? Definition of a bitch. And she said, a female dog. I said, ah. What about definition number two? Definition number two of a bitch in the Merriam-Webster dictionary is a lewd or immoral woman.
There you have it.
With lewd extending into sexual deviance. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, to be specific, I then went to the definition of lewd, and I'm reading it now. Sexual in an offensive or rude way. So, in this person's criticism and critique of Aloysius' behavior or usage of the word bitch, calling the woman bitch, she never, ever, ever, ever looked back at the root of the issue. Here we had a woman who invited Aloysius to her crib, they engaged in relations. She did not disclose that she was in a relationship. She did not disclose that she had a live-in partner, boyfriend, significant other. So her failure to disclose was immoral. And she demonstrated lewd behavior. I'm not here to condone or defend anything Aloysius did on that day, on that evening. But I present the case that Aloysius, in describing this woman as a bitch, was absolutely right, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary. And I then say again to you all, Aloysius, who I've known all of my life, is a scholar. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Aloysius, at this time, I'd like to ask, would you like to respond to those who take issue to your usage of that word?
Well, of course. I mean, if they haven't, apparently this is their first couple of times listening to the show or something. But I spread that term like mustard, first of all. And the thing is, men have been called dogs ever since I've been able to speak. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so the opposing of that is a bitch, a female dog, right?
Oh, yeah.
And part of it is that when you grow up in a certain area, that slang is going to be spread around anyway. And so mm-hmm. I pick it up from my environment. And if it is disrespectful to some people, don't listen, you know?
Amen. You know what? I will say this. This show gets 400 listeners a night, okay? 400 listeners a night. And I will again reference the nationally syndicated radio show that I listen to in the mornings on FM radio. Well, he'll tell a motherfucker quick, if you don't like my show, don't listen. If you don't like what we say, don't listen. Fuck it.
I mean, why try to have an argument with someone? You know what I mean?
Yep. Our lives will go on, and so shall yours.
Exactly. If you have something to say to me, just say it as far as, you know, digging something that I'm saying. If you don't dig it, then don't dig it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're putting our lives, you know, in the public arena, so... You know, it's going to be expected that somebody's going to have something to say regardless.
Yeah.
Anyway, call in. That's what it is. So.
Call in and let's have the discussion. You know? And I will
say
this, too.
Definitely not going to change my mind on, you know, how I speak.
Absolutely not. And I will say this, too. Aloysius and I gel on a different level. Few people know about this. Few people know about that other level or are conscious of that other level. Few people would be ready to hear everything about it, prepared mentally to accept such things. So when you hear us on the Lonely Hearts Cafe, when you hear us talk about the topics that we discuss, we're really not concerned with what goes on a daily basis in this world, in this plane, with human beings. Okay, we are ones who are detached from this world. At any point, we accept that we could die. We input our wisdom within our children, within our families, within our loved ones, and then we wash our hands. You know, I had a discussion with my children or communicated to my children this past week. And I simply said, you know, I opened it and closed it by saying, I am not going to be here forever. You know, you all as adults, be confident in yourself, be confident in your thoughts, your desires. And it's kind of like the same thing you said about your daughter a few weeks ago, how, you know, the world is hers. You know, we grew up, we are beings who live a certain existence. We share that with those whom we encounter. We try to elevate and raise our children and youth around us. Our perspective on our interaction with adults, and jump in at any time, Aloysius, our perspective with our interaction with adults is that we'll give you a piece of us. Live, grow off of what you are exposed to, and then so be it. There is, it's you know, I don't want to say we have a vow of poverty, but we have absolutely no attachment to this world. You know, we accept the fact that we won't be here. We try not to accumulate baggage or association or relationships with people that would draw us a connection with this world. When we're gone, we're gone. So I say all that to say that if you get tied up in Aloysius' usage of the word bitch, or things that we say on this show, or our opinions, we don't give a fuck. Our existence transcends the show. It transcends this country. It extends beyond this language. Basically, we have no connection to any of this. And, you know, I'd even go on to say at some point, at some times in our lives, in our existence, I'm just going to say it. Don't necessarily feel like we need to be here. You know, we're here for a purpose. We're here for an assignment. Our Creator put us here, and we are here to do His will, and we understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, human beings are full of shit.
Yes,
and it's not that serious. You know, it's not that serious where we are attached or connected to any. All right, Aloysius, we have some callers on the line. I'm going to check in with the callers, but I want to give you a chance to continue to talk because I kind of dominated the first half hour of the show.
It's totally understandable. Those things have to be said. And transcend is a better word, you know. Mm-hmm. That's just the reality of it, though. No, if you're caught up on one word mm-hmm. out of the entire language and it knocks you down, there's something wrong. It's just like people taking offense to the term nigger and any other slave term. It's only one word. It doesn't really define who you are. It doesn't even describe who you are. You know, if you know that you're not a bitch, then don't worry about it. You know, go on from whatever it is and be at peace with your day-to-day life. You know,
if
and like you're saying, you need to strive for something else. Shit.
Exactly. If a word offends you, the usage of a word, the association of a word, what a word represents, if that offends you, then your existence is limited. That negative connotation that you applied to not only to that word, but its usage, its application, becomes a burden to you because you allow it to be a burden to you. You know, scholars once said that gold is valued monetarily more than silver because man says it is. You know, the color blue is the color blue because that's what it's been called or that's what it's defined as. So, all of it matters not. Okay, so let me check in with the callers and then we're going to get into our topic, which kind of stems from that a little bit. You did say that the man jumped on the female. And let me cough a little bit. Wait, I'm gonna say it. Had some pepper in my throat. So I will say this. Let me put that in context. When we were getting topics for today's show, for those who are online, the topic is if a man saw a woman that was not related to him, and the person that posed the topic was not neither myself nor Aloysius, said that, you know, even sometimes it can be your relatives, sometimes it can't be. But are you obligated as a man to jump in and assist her if she's getting jumped on? So then, every female that I asked, they all said, no, the man is not obligated. So I know how I feel about it. We're going to check with Aloysius how he feels about it. But let me check with the callers and give them opportunity to join us. Caller from the 516 area code. You are on the line on the Lonely Hearts Cafe. You are welcome to participate, or you may listen in. What is your pleasure? And that caller has dropped off. Nope, she's calling back in. Caller from the 516 area code. You are on the Lonely Hearts Cafe. You are welcome to listen to tonight's show or call or participate. Would you like to participate? Okay. Caller from the 334 area code. You are on the Lonely Hearts Cafe. Would you like to participate in tonight's show, or do you want to just listen? Okay. So callers, you are on the line. Feel free to jump in at any time. Okay. So Aloysius, if a woman is getting jumped on, do you feel that is your obligation as a man to save her?
No. And let me tell you, there are a couple of different variables. Okay, when I was younger and I saw that go down, it was the code of the street. You don't check. So you don't check the dude, you check your bitch, okay? You check your mate. Because they don't, the 9 times out of 10, they don't know what's going on. And jumping into stuff like that will cause you to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
Now there have been occasions where I've now this is one that I've been here in the last 13 years. I call myself breaking up a fight, and I pull the girl into my building, and the dude was still out there talking mad shit to her. So what does she do? She sits down for a second and runs right back out there and starts fighting again. So I said, fuck it. You know, I tried it. It didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There have been incidents where I've been called to come over to girls' houses and just be there for protection. And, you know, I've done that. And, you know, certain instances, the guy doesn't come in because he's like, okay, it's a big black dude. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to go in there and fuck with her now. You know, but for the most part, I try not to get into domestic affairs, you know. I really don't. I don't like to be drawn into the legal system because basically at the end of it, that's what happens.
You got to be a witness. You got to testify.
Yeah.
Your name is attached to their shit. And then years down the line, you're still associated with it. You know, the dude can come back, the female can come back. And meanwhile, they'll be together.
Exactly.
After all that, they'll still be together.
It's just crazy, man, but that's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hello, yes, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
What's going on?
Hey, this is Mike Steele calling from Florida.
Okay, how you doing? What's going on?
Chilling.
Welcome to the show.
What
man,
it is?
First time calling.
Okay,
hey, what's
cool.
What's up, brother? What's up, brother, on the other side of the phone?
Hey.
It's two of you.
Yeah. Aloysius and Christopher. Do you have an opinion about the topic? Like, if you see a woman getting jumped on, you know, do you jump in to help her, or do you kind of lay low? What's your opinion on the matter?
We fine, you know.
Hey, that fella.
Anyway, check it. I mean, that is a sticky situation you're talking about, you know. And sometimes, man, you know, like, we tend to not or turn a blind eye when we see a man on the street fighting his woman. But if it's your sister or your cousin or a relative, you know, some of us, we tend to kind of come out and try to save the day, so to speak. But I think you said it best, or you spoke on, you know, we get into these situations where we want to protect our relatives, and at the end of the day, they're going to be with who they want to be with anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to, you know, we jump out there and we all gone home about, hey, you're not going to put your hands on my sister, my cousin, and you defend her for that night, and the next night they back together again.
Back together, laid up.
Yeah, made up and booed up, you feel me?
Yep. And then you look like a fool. Then, you know, it's kind of awkward because she's going to make the decision to be with old boy, And then the next time y'all together, which is, you know, y'all in the same place, you still feel a certain way. He might feel a certain way about you, and then it's hostilities. He might try to test you.
Oh, hey, but I definitely feel you on that. But I'm pretty much, you know, like, and I don't want to sound like I'm this big, bad booger man, you know, because I'm not. But I'm zero tolerance for it, though, really, I am. And I oblige anything, you know. I'm not, you know, I'm not a savior, man, but I'm just built for it tough. I mean, I hate to say it. And but it's somebody for everybody, and I do understand that. So with that being said, I guess the best way to handle that is that I'm not going to try to fight no one's battle. You know, even if my sister's battle, I'm going to try to get her away from that situation and maybe call the cops and get the cops involved and let them deal with it how they may. I don't think I can just sit back and let it happen. I really, being the personality that I am, I just can't sit back and let it happen.
Okay. Now, what if I remember our very first episode over a year ago? It was either the first or second episode where we had an issue where somebody in Miami had a history of domestic violence and stayed with the dude for 13 years. And her family, you know, got tired of her crying wolf when she would go back with the dude. She ended up having a metal plate put in her head. Now, what if it was a relative that just kept going back to the guy? Do you think you would get to a point where you wash your hands, or would you still... What would you do? How would you handle that?
Bro, I feel you, and that's an excellent question, but, you know, just to be real, at some point in time, man, you can't rescue them over and over and over again and again.
Yeah.
You know, at some point in time, realistically, you got to wash your hands of it, you know.
Yeah.
And I can't even see myself doing it over and over and over again. Maybe the first couple times, yeah, but after this is what you signed up for, and not me, and man, I'm putting myself in harm's way. I can't go out like that. But if I'm witnessing it for the first couple of times, and I'm like, oh man, this ain't right. You know, this ain't right. Of course, I'm gonna feel compelled to kind of do something. But if this is the kind of situation that is ongoing. Man, we got to use our head, man. We got to say, hey, this ain't what's happening. This is what you want. You sign up for this. This is what you get. It's just the same thing with drugs and alcohol. You know what I mean? At some point in time, you want to offer your best hand. You want to help as much as you can. But when someone is just continuously doing the same thing, hey, more power to you.
That's right. Aloysius, you got anything to say?
I kind of agree with him on that.
Okay. Now, let me ask the brothers in line. We got two brothers on the line tonight. Let me ask you about the whole situation in Baltimore. Mike, you say your name's Mike, caller?
Yeah, Mike.
Okay, tell me what you feel about the situation that's going on in Baltimore, the violence that's going on in Baltimore, and then we'll step into it where we talk about, you know, black males getting killed by cops and all this kind of stuff. So do you feel that the protesters and the looters have a right to do that, to express themselves in that way?
You know what? That's funny that you mentioned that, because I've been posting on Facebook all day concerning Baltimore and what is going on over there.
Okay.
You know, and it really kind of equates to me that people, man, black people are sick and tired, man. Sick and tired. Peaceful protesting is not what's happening these days.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be a revolutionist. I'm just trying to tell you that people, man, are fighting back, and they're not sitting back watching this whole thing play out all over again, man. The people are sick and tired of seeing young black males being murdered at the hands of officers. Now, at some point in time, man, you can put your head in a lion's mouth so many times before you chop it off, man.
Yeah.
And let's be real, man. Look, we have turned a blind eye, or we have turned the other cheek, I'm sorry, so to speak, many times, time and time again. Now people are pissed off, and now they're fighting back, and they, even at the expense of destroying their own communities, man, which I don't agree with, but, man, you can't keep shoving people and not expect to be shoved back.
Yeah, because the communities represent white establishment, white capitalism, you know, white corporations with the businesses in the community. So when the business is attacked and destroyed, you know, that's what it symbolizes. Now, unfortunately, if it's some brothers and sisters working in those businesses that won't have a job when those businesses close because they've been destroyed, but, you know, those are why those businesses are attacked. My wife thinks that there's an undercurrent in the United States that wants to start a race war. You know, they would love to start a race war, particularly while President Obama is in office. Do you think that part of that conspiracy is behind this or part of it?
Man, a race war, man, I think we're already having a race war, bro. I think for the most part we're at war right now, man. The only people who can't see the war is the people who are naive and to believe that it's equal opportunity for all of us, man. I hate to say it, man, and I'm not a race baiter. I'm not even a prejudiced person, man. I'm pro-black, but I'm not anti-white. So, man, we in here, man. We fighting right now, man. It's a war going on right now, man. It's a war on young black males, man, right now. And the war is happening right under Mr. or Dr. or President Obama's watch, man. This war is real right now. You see it.
Would you be surprised if rednecks were attacking boys in the hood, black males in the hood? Do you think it'll get to that point? Or do you think that the National Guard or the military will step in and squash it before it gets to that point?
You know what, man, honestly, do I think it would get to the point where rednecks start attacking black folks? That's what you're asking me?
Yeah, like in the hood or, you know.
Like in the hood. No, I don't think it's going to get to the point where it's like blatantly thrown in your face. I think it's where that, right? It is manifesting itself right now through cops dressing up, rednecks dressing up in police uniforms and other costumes, and they're killing young black males. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would be like, here's what I'm saying. Those uniforms, they are hid and protected by the color uniform. That's to the extent of what we got going on right now. Will they come out in plain clothes and do what they're doing? Hell no.
Yep, because they're cowards.
Yeah. Well, they'll wear those clothes and wear that badge, and they will kill you. I'm afraid, man. I have a 10-year-old son, and I have people telling me, they say, Mike, you have no reason to be afraid. And I'm saying to myself, like, hell, I don't, man. Look, I've never been afraid, and I'm not really afraid of what someone may do to me. I'm really afraid of what I may have to do to somebody. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, my goodness. Yep. There was a conversation in my household. It went the same way today. Now, my wife asked me, she said, Sunshine, hold on 1 second. Sunshine, you on the line?
Sunshine,
okay,
female?
Yeah, she just messaged that she was trying to talk but couldn't be heard. Sunshine, are you there?
I'm here. I have my phone on mute.
Well, don't blame us because you can't talk.
Well, let me say. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. Hi, fellas. I hear a new voice.
Yeah, it's Mike.
Hello.
Okay, now let me say one more thing.
Why they call us Sunshine? Is it because of the...
Hey, whatever folks are doing, I just light up your day. If I come around you, you just have a brighter day, I promise. It has nothing to do with the ads, but the ads is on task too, just in case you didn't know.
The ads is on what?
Task.
All right, I'm praying the Lord right now. Jesus on the main line.
Amen. Look, I was in a Baltimore conversation, and I was in Baltimore since 1994 to 2005, and it was a very corrupt police system, and it affected a lot of people. And I am not ecstatic about what's going on, because I just feel that we failed the community in not educating our young men on how to civilly protest. But I'm glad that they're not just taking it, sitting down, looting from everybody loose. You know, every time they have a football game and they win the championship, they go out and burn cars. So I really don't find the looting part as offensive. But I do find offensive is how they were just jumping on people of other occasions. That was a little bit. But living and being a resident of Maryland, the racial tensions are very high in Baltimore and the city. And it was just a boiling pot. And if the governor closes today, although he tried, he alluded, it's a long-standing problem with Baltimore Police Department. The two top chiefs of police in 2005 were indicted and combined had a 404-year sentence. So it's a real shit that has happened in Baltimore in the past 20 years that families have just been railroaded, you know what I mean? So the trust, when Homeland Security came out, I was at Bowie State University working on my master's, which I still haven't finished because of this bullshit. But it was on community organization. And did a paper, and one of my subjects was on the Homeland Security Bill and how it affects regular American citizens. And everybody thought I was being petty, so I picked out the simplest things that could affect me. And one of them was them not having a proper state-issued ID and being illegally detained without having one on your person. Baltimore was the first city to start using that law for regular people. So Baltimore's been on the map for a while when it comes to police brutality.
So
I just
so for clarification, and we're having a little trouble with your signal, Sunshine, so but because you're going in and out. But what you're saying is that in Baltimore, if you did not have a state-issued ID, you could be detained?
Hold on. When Homeland Security first came into play, they used the stipulation in the Homeland Security Bill that was made for terrorists and terrorist activities to use against the average citizen, which was basically if they didn't have an ID, a valid form of ID, state issues that they could say you are a known person, you are a new person supposed to back terrorism. But what it did was detain a lot of terrorists, young black men.
Sunshine.
It's affected our local community in so many ways that Baltimore is just at this point where it's just fed up.
I'm better than
that.
Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have a generator power phone?
I know. I was at a place with a generator powering up something, so I just got back in my car.
Okay, you sound much better now.
I'm out and about. I'm in my car now, and then my son, he has video games playing. That's why I get out the car. But then I realized the generator was loud, so I put my headphones on, and it just didn't work out either way. So I'm back in the car with the video games in the back.
Okay. Video games, cool. Okay. So.
But I missed you guys the last couple of weeks. Just wanted to say that. I thought y'all was going to talk about some real juicy stuff today. I heard you talking about abuse.
We figured you were at basketball practice, Boss League basketball practice.
My baby said he was tired tonight and he wanted to relax because the weekend was too busy. Hmm. We were on our way and he told me he didn't want to go. He wanted to play video games tonight. So I let him cheat tonight.
Okay. The first part of the show, and Mike, I don't know if you heard the first part of the show. The first part of the show was the usage of the word, the B word, bitch.
Yeah, man. That was interesting.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm a bitch. It's the way you use the word bitch. Because I can be a bitch all day, and I'm okay with being a bitch. But it's how you tone the word. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. You know, my homegirl walked to me and be like, bitch. I'll be like, what's up, girl? But
bitch.
She's like, bitch. I'm going to be arguing. You see what I'm saying? It's like the tone of the word. Just like, nigga, what's up, my nigga? But he's like, oh, busted ass nigga. He knows the tone. It's just the tone. So I don't mind being called a bitch, but just don't call me a bitch at the wrong in an argument. You know, certain times it's not appropriate.
What would be most appropriate time for call you a bitch?
If a man's got you doggy style, Mike, I can answer that question for us. If a man's got her doggy style and he grabs her and
back
to his
BS.
That's
not the only time.
Yeah.
You know. Or in the joking we joke in, or he's like, bitch, you crazy or something like that, you know, but nothing like harsh. Like I said, it's about tone. And the abusive situation, see that they couldn't last long with me because when he sleeps, he wouldn't sleep too well. So I caught a little bit about that. I just wanted to ask that.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that word bitch when you were talking about it. And I was just tuning into the show, and I was listening to the you set the stage for the conversation. And you mentioned about the word bitch and, you know, I can't remember all that you said, but I remember being a little younger than what I am now. I mean, I can even go back to high school, man. I'm from Florida, man. I'm from West Palm Beach County.
Yeah.
And we use a lot of slang down here. Where you from, guy?
I'm from Florida, right? I'm
from
Alabama, but I live in Tampa now. I'm in Tampa now.
Okay. You went to Miles College. I know, yeah.
Aloysius did. Yeah. Aloysius with the mile.
I know exactly who you are.
Yeah, that's my boy right there. Cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, long story short, man, you know, being from Florida, we use a lot of slang and even conversating with other guys, we're like, bitch, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, I don't use the word bitch no more, and I don't even use the word N-word no more. I can't say I don't use it. I try my best not to.
Okay.
And I do that because, I've grown and I matured a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to, and I'm not any better than anybody or the next man. I know that. But I'm just working on me. That's all I'm saying. And I try not to use the B word and the N word, and I try to respect women at all times. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I'm with my brother and we're having a conversation, that word comes out, you know what I'm saying? Or the N word comes out. But I have to, my brother make fun of me, oh, Mike, you try to, you're a revolutionist now. He jokes around. It's not the fact that I'm a revolutionist. I just try to practice what I preach, so to speak. That's all I'm saying.
I had one more point. I appreciate you, Mike, for being honest, because slang, you know, in certain situations, that's why I said it's okay, because slang will have you calling a nigga a bitch in a minute and not mean it in a negative way. Yeah.
And you know what? Some people don't really understand that from different cultures, too, or different environments, I would say.
Yeah, you're right.
Like,
but I also wanted to remind y'all about the Baltimore, because Baltimore has been a hot topic, and I wanted to talk about some other stuff, but my baby's in the car. But wasn't the first riot that was the first riot in Baltimore was in 1861, and it was a riot against the Union and the Confederacy. So it sort of bothers me when people always blame black people for the worst type of rioting, because when they rioted for their position, it was called civil war. When we riot for our position, it's called civil unrest. And the only difference between the two is the lack of organization. So wherever you are, black people, if you say you're a revolutionary, you have to little pieces by pieces by pieces start putting these things in your people's heads, so that when it comes somewhere in your city to stand up, that they know how to do it collectively and have a strategy in place, you know, in long-term effect.
That's true.
Because Confederates, these folks still celebrate their cousins. They dead great-great-great-granddaddies, but they were rioters based on the definition.
You know, the reality of it is that there's always going to be chaos and there's always going to be peace. You just have to be on easy, you know, on one side.
I was talking to a friend today, and she was like, she's a little bit more militant than I am. What are y'all? I'm just gonna post a question to the host of the show. What do y'all think about? Okay, all that's going on in Baltimore right now. What are y'all thoughts on just like with Freddie Gray being murdered by the hands of the cops? What do y'all think about an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? I mean, is that anything relevant? I mean, not even relevant. Is that? What are your thoughts on that? Because this is what she said to me.
Well, the thing is, if go ahead.
An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. She don't really per se think that what they're doing right now is appropriate. Basically, what she said to me. What's going on right now is almost like a baby having a tantrum.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If anything, go and destroy their neighborhoods, go and destroy their businesses or whatever. Don't kill your neighborhood. And even to the fact, if you're going to destroy their businesses, guess what? They got insurance.
Let me ask you.
The business will be back up in a couple of weeks.
Is it their community though?
Huh? See,
that's the projects. Most of those people came out about the projects. Freddie Gray people came about the housing development system of Baltimore. Is it theirs? Is it their community? And that's people say, oh, they're cheering up their own community. Ain't that shit?
No.
And they're letting them know
that
the police are letting them know that it's not theirs. Every time when that man come and inspect you and tell you to tell me how many children on your list and how many folks can't stay here, it's not theirs. They don't have any ownership detail, and that's why it's so easy. That's what I'm saying, is a lack of organization within our community. It's easy for me to tear up something I have no connection to. I'm not connected to that. I'm here. I live here. I'm from the West Side, but the West Side owns by the government. Uncle Sam tell me if I could stay here.
Okay. I got that.
So, I don't believe in an eye for an eye per se. You didn't ask me the question, but I just had to jump in on that little portion right there.
No.
Y'all good. Keep going.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. I don't actually agree with the eye for an eye either, you know, but this is what she said to me. So, and I thought it was interesting, you know, but I don't even agree with the rioting and the looting and none of that. But what I do understand when we're talking about people, I do understand that people can only take so much, and after a while, they're gonna start pushing back.
So, Mike, let me tell you what I heard. Let me tell you what I heard today. Two people had a conversation. I wasn't a party of the conversation, but both of them were thinking the same thing. One was a grandmother. Okay, said, "If you kill my child, I'm going to find yours and kill yours." That's where I thought you were going when you said an eye for an eye, two for two.
Mm-hmm.
See, I know certain hood rules where somebody be working around, you know, the back ends trying to find out. Remember in Ferguson, they didn't tell where the officer lived. You know, they tried to keep him in hiding.
Everybody kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they were going to kill him. If Darren Wilson would have been on the street at that precinct, he was going to be a dead man. And I agree with the lady's concept that if we took matters like the Confederate took in the 1800s and start attacking those that come and take over our land and our children, we wouldn't have these problems. They would respect us in a different way. But because we sit back and we have to take blame for it, when we act like we don't know that little poo-poo to rob everybody on the block just because he ain't robbed you, y'all straight. You feel what I'm saying? I just went through that with my neighbor's son. He's facing capital murder right now for things that we probably should have helped him with. You understand what I'm saying? Over the course of the years. But no one wants to really face reality that someone that they're close to has the capacity to kill. You understand what I'm saying? So sometimes we overlook things in our community because we know the circumstances, but we got to stop condoning foolishness. We really do start helping our kids. When they have issues with anger, we need to really help them and stop going to the judge fussing with them. If they got issues smoking weed, test their ass every week. They ain't going to stop smoking weed, but at least they know that you're aware and that you care. But if you just act like you don't care, they're going to do more. So we got to just recondition our children. We just really got to but if you kill these cops like they're killing our children, they won't kill our children anymore.
But we have to remember the cops.
The cops have bigger guns too now.
I don't believe that, bro.
Okay, you don't believe the cops have bigger and more guns.
No, I understand that, but not individually.
I think it's
more guns in the street anyway.
The thing is, they're not just trying to hurt your feelings. They're trying to kill your bloodline so no more of your family continues on to the next generation. So.
I told y'all Aloysius was a scholar.
That's right. That's right. We might have already killed our next Malcolm X. They might have already killed him. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's true.
Hey,
we don't know.
Let me tell y'all this, and I think I'll leave on this note. Look, man, we knew the ladies, man.
What's y'all hear when motherfuckers call the show and they be like, oh, yeah, we in it, but they leave on their own terms, like, fuck it, I'm going back.
No, man. Hey, bro. Hey, I talk all day, man, and I enjoy y'all's show, man. I think it's very refreshing. And what's good, too, man, that brothers can have a conversation, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dig that.
Yeah. And I'm going to be tuning in to you guys more often, man. I just happened to see it on Facebook. And I was like, well, damn. Ain't no more man had a show.
Let me
show love, man. Show love.
So,
but anyway.
Go ahead. Your comment. Your hand.
No. What I was saying is, man, we need black leaders, man. And we have them, man. We just not tapped into them, I think. You know, like Brother Umar Johnson. Y'all familiar with Umar Johnson?
Mm-hmm. I heard of him. He writes books. He has some book series.
Yeah, he got a couple books out, man. He's a motivational speaker. He's a child psychologist. Man, this guy's a phenomenal brother, man. But he's pro-black. He's a pan-Africanist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
I don't believe in pan-Africanism. Because when you go into my pan-Africanism, I'm saying, I'm from Brooklyn originally, and grew up around a lot of Nigerians, a lot of Haitians, a lot of Caribbean people, a lot of African people. And, you know, it's nice to visit, but that's not what we consider home. And you can tell me all day, let's move back to Africa, but it'll be a culture shock for most people. You know, most people can't stand to move to Alabama. It took me a whole 6 months to adjust to moving back to Alabama. So
I can't wait to move back. Shit. Anyway.
That's what I said until I got here, and I love it now. But that first 6 months, it sort of rocked me, like a nervous breakdown. I didn't even know what was going on. It takes an adjustment to come into a new environment and accept new cultural ways, even though I grew up here and my family's from here. But being an adult and coming back after 10 years of being elsewhere was like a whole other world. And I don't believe in the Pan-Africanism movement, but they have some great philosophies.
That's the point. I agree with you. Some things about the Pan-Africanist movement, here's the thing. I don't agree with everything that they stand for, but their views, some of their views are valid. See, this is how I look at it. If it don't apply, you let it fly. You know what I mean? But for the most part, man, it's some real conversation, and they have some real good views on how we need to conduct ourselves as black people. And one of the things is keep your money in black hands, you know what I mean? Spend money with black folks, support the black movement. Dr. Umar Johnson has a school that he's building, which is for all black boys. Now, like I said, I'm pro-black but not anti-white. I was raised by a white family.
Okay.
So how could I be...
Okay, Mike, since you're the guest, the first-time caller, do not hang up because the show is only an hour. I don't know if you knew that. So we're at the end of it. So don't hang up. Let me tell you, Aloysius did the best thing when he suggested we go to an hour format because that leaves everybody wanting more. So you'll tune in next week for more. So what we do at the end of the show is we give everybody an opportunity to say goodbye to everybody. So this is your first time calling. I'm going to let you go second. So Sunshine, go on first. Say your goodbyes.
I got to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, since I was last to come on, I will go first. It was kind of good, and I get the call. It was 19 guys, hearing you guys' voices again. Sorry I was late. Sorry I didn't know I was able to talk because I was preoccupied. But I had something to talk about, and I got some updates on the old head and the young head, and I would have, you know, like to discuss that today. But maybe next week. You guys would inbox me like an hour before, but I don't know what happened to my inboxes and with the basketball practice. And if it wasn't for Jeremiah not wanting to do it today, I would have probably missed the show again today. And I'm sort of missing it. So I'm glad
you
came back.
We got you. Okay. Mike, go on and say your greetings, shout out to anybody you want to shout out. And don't hang up, because I got something special for y'all at the end.
Okay. Man, hey, guys, man. Sweetheart, man, first to you, thank you for your insight. Thank you, man. I don't know you, man, but I'm moving back to Birmingham in June. I can't wait to get back to Birmingham. I miss it a lot. You know, it is what it is. I'm from Florida, like I said, but I'll be back in Birmingham. And, guys, man, I enjoyed the show, man. I enjoyed the opportunity to kind of speak with some brothers, man, have some real talk, and just talk about what's going on, man. Yep. So with that being said, man,
every Tuesday,
I'll be making
8 to 9, yep. Don't hang up.
I'll make sure I
catch you. Aloysius,
okay,
you want to
say yours? We're spending a song called Groove. We do appreciate everyone's insight and voice tonight. It was like you guys take some peace with you and share a little bit, why don't you?
All right. And that was Aloysius, and this is Christopher Tracy. I want to thank everybody for joining tonight, everybody listening in, everybody commenting. And to those haters who didn't like Aloysius' usage of the word, last week, I just got one thing to say to y'all motherfuckers.
Yes.
I knew you had
a miss.
I'm twerking.
Hey, bro, that's one of my favorite all-time songs, man.
But bitch, I kept talking shit. Motherfucker, you damn shit.
You're listening to Team Broadcasting.